Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Happy Mother's Day from all of us here at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. There are very few institutions in this world that we're more thankful for than we are the institution of motherhood. It ranks right there with the institution of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the church is, figuratively speaking, a mother to God's people in this world. God's Word celebrates motherhood. It celebrates women. And for those who have any doubt, the scoffer, the cynic, the skeptic, they simply need to study the history of the world in the time of the writing of God's Word and see the low value that was placed on women. And then read with me from Proverbs chapter 31, where Solomon says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." He praises the qualifications and the attributes of this incredible virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31. What a great blessing it has been to me and to my family over the course of these many years to have a virtuous woman in our home. I just celebrated 37 years on May the 7th being married to Sherry Denise Crawford for 37 years. Thank God. I would be absolutely nothing without God's gift of her in my life. Notice how wonderfully, how gloriously God's Word speaks of a mother and a wife. Proverbs 31:28, Solomon says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." If you could speak to my son this morning, he'd tell you that the very chief of his blessings from God in this world has been his mother. My son and I had the privilege this weekend of going down to Vero Beach, Florida to a wonderful meeting. And on the way down there, he talked about how much his mother meant to him. It's true. The Word of God is true. Her children will rise up, call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Solomon goes on to say this, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." Now listen, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Beauty is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she is going to be praised. You all know what an acrostic is, don't you? That's when the letter of a word stands for something. And so listen, M in mother. M is for the million things that she gives. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears 'twere shed by her for me. H is for her heart as pure as gold. E is for her eyes with loving light shining. And R means right, and right she'll be. That's an acrostic. And why do people write acrostics? Because there's something in us that loves to praise what we enjoy. We like to pile up the praiseworthy attributes of the people we love. Well, that's what was happening in Proverbs 31. Verses 10 through 31 are an acrostic. Every verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The first is Aleph. It's for a woman full of virtue. Then Beth, the next letter, refers to trust her husband shares. Gimel is for the work she does to help you. Daleth stands for how she seeks her wares. And so on through all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's helpful to know because it tips us off that the author's not building an argument like Paul does in Romans. Instead, Solomon here in Proverbs 31, he is stringing pearls together. He set himself to the task, as he says in verse 30, to praise the woman who fears the Lord. To do this, he tries to think of 22 praiseworthy things to say about her. And so, I think a message based on that passage of Scripture should aim to accomplish several things. It should aim to inspire women to trust and revere the Lord and be like this woman in the way she fulfilled her role. And that's possible for all women, married or unmarried. And then it should inspire others, especially husbands and children, for us to be careful to praise women who fear the Lord. They're so rare today. And then it should contain praise for the godly woman, God's gift of grace in her. And that's why I began with an ode to my wife, the woman that I know best, a woman who fears the Lord, who loves the Lord's people, who has sacrificed for them for 37 years. And so, what does it mean to fear the Lord? This woman that fears the Lord that should be praised. Why it's so important that a woman, that we praise a woman who fears the Lord? How can you tell if she does? What does it look like in action? Well, we saw that beauty is deceitful and vain, but a woman who fears the Lord's to be praised. What does that mean in daily experience? Well, we look back at the beginning of Israel's life as a nation in Exodus 20. After the giving of the Ten Commandments, it says in verse 18 that when all the people perceived the thunderings and the lightnings and the sound and the trumpet of the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. They stood afar off, and Moses said, and they said to Moses, "Moses, you speak to us and we'll hear, but let not God speak to us. We're afraid we're going to die." And Moses said to the people, "Don't fear. God's come to prove you, and that the fear of Him would be before your eyes, that you may not sin." We need to meditate on such perplexing text. Notice what he said, "Do not fear. You're being tested. You'll pass the test only if you don't fear." Yet, God desires that the fear of Him should always be before our eyes. You pass the test by fearing the Lord. The text provides the distinctions that are necessary to make sense out of this. The fear that Moses was telling the children of Israel to get rid of was the fear of coming close to God and hearing His voice. The fear that Moses wanted them to keep before their eyes was that God is fearfully powerful and opposed to sin. The fear of kindling God's wrath against sin ought not to drive us away from God, but to God for mercy. And so, we should be careful. When I was a young boy, I remember going with my father to a couple's house in the church, and they had a dog about as big as I was, and it greeted us with horrible barks and growls from where he was chained. But after we were there and went in the house, the dog, who was allowed to come on the porch where we were, he became friendly. And then we went outside again, and they gave us a warning. They said, don't run from him. But as we were running out to the car, heading out to the car, the dog came trotting up behind, and instead of slowing down, my little sister started to run, and immediately the dog barked and growled. That was a great lesson in the fear of God. You know, we were told, don't be afraid. The Crawford family was told by the couple, don't be afraid, don't fear to come near, but keep the fear of the dog before your eyes, lest you try to run away. And that's what Moses is saying. Don't fear the Lord, but keep the fear of the Lord before your eyes, lest you start to fall into sin. But you don't have to be afraid of him as long as you're near him. But keep the fear of him, lest you try to run away. God is a joy to be near, but he's a problem for his children who flee him from his presence so they can sin. You see, but the comparison breaks down. The dog was put in the basement, but nobody puts God in the basement. If you're running from God because you're afraid of him, then you're not yet as afraid as you ought to be. In fact, your flight is a mockery of God, presuming that you can outrun God. If you're his child, don't fear him in that way. Stop running if you belong to him. Turn around. You know, the psalmist said, kiss the son, lest he be angry with thee. Stay close to him. Hug his neck. The fear of the Lord is fear of fleeing out of his fellowship and into the way of sin. So, the fear of the Lord is accompanied, the proper fear of the Lord, keeping the fear of the Lord. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing that there are grievous consequences if we try to flee him and stay away from his fellowship and don't draw near to him in prayer and in worship, because we have habits and patterns that are of behavior that make us afraid to come close to him. The psalmist said the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. He makes known to them his covenant. He goes on to say, how abundant is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for those who fear thee and wrought for those who take refuge in thee. God help us that we draw near to him as his children. The promises God makes to those who fear him are so staggering that the summons to have reverence for our God, the summons to hope in God, are inseparable. And so the psalmist puts them together. In Psalm 33, he said, the eye of the Lord is on them who fear him, on those who hope in mercy. You see how he's brought the two together? We reverence him, we hold him in awe, and we hope in mercy as a result. The Lord, he says in Psalm 147, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in mercy. And so Solomon says that we're to praise the woman who fears the Lord. She won't run away from God to satisfy her longings and relieve her anxieties. She'll wait for the Lord. She'll hope in God. She'll stay close to the heart of God and trust his promises. The prospect of departing into the way of sin will be too fearful to pursue for her. And she sees the benefits of abiding in the shadow of the Almighty too glorious to forsake. Yes, beauty is deceitful and vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Why? Why should we praise her? That's what the Word of God says. She's to be praised. Well, let me say this. If you'll honor somebody who honors God, it'll help your heart to do it. And then secondly, it does honor God. And then lastly, it will strengthen her hand in the Lord. First, it feels good when you do. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart, the psalmist says. That means delight yourself in everything that delights the Lord. And so delight yourself in the woman who fears the Lord. Now, what is praise? I guess at this point in my life, he's my favorite writer. C.S. Lewis points out beautifully in his little book on the Psalms that I've been reading recently that praise is not merely the expression of joy, but praise is the consummation of joy. A joy isn't fully enjoyed until it comes out in the expression of praise. The joy that I have in my wife mounts to its highest when I express it as well as I can in a poem. I've made up little cute poems for her over the years. And then I share it with others, even in the midst of the congregation of the church. It's joy unabated. So a strong and good incentive for praising a woman who fears the Lord is that it feels good doing it. I love to talk about what a blessing my precious wife is. It expresses and completes the joy that such a woman brings. And let me say, husbands, if you're not praising your wife publicly and to her face, then you've got issues. And the Word of God's not pleased with that. I remember the old story about Hank that had been married to Marge for 60 years. 60 years Hank and Marge had been married. So they had their wedding anniversary, and they invited hundreds of people. And there were several hundred people that came to the meeting hall. And there, standing in front of those hundreds of people, Hank got Marge up on stage, and in front of those hundreds of people, he looked at Marge and he said, "Marge, I just want to tell you, I love you with everything in me. You've been a faithful wife. I've never had to worry about you. You've been the best mother that any child could ever ask for. And I just can't tell you how much I love you." Marge took the microphone and she said, "Hank, that's so sweet. I appreciate it, you telling me how much you love me." She said, "But Hank, we've been married 60 years, and you hadn't told me you loved me since the day we got married." She said, "What's wrong? I appreciate you telling me now, but how about the past 60 years? And Hank looked at Marge, and he said, "Marge, I thought you knew that if I had ever changed my mind, I would have told you." Well, men, we need to tell them we love them and we need to praise them. If you got a good wife, you need to get down on your knees and thank God for a godly wife, a godly woman, if your children have a godly mother. Let me say this. It may be helpful in passing just to mention the ugly alternative to praise so as to increase our desire to avoid it. Lewis said, "Praise is inner health that is made audible." And I've seen that verified over and over again. Let me say this. It's the cranks that can't get along with nobody in this world, stays upset with everybody, the misfits, the Scrooges that ruins everybody's day, that seldom praise people. They have an inner sickness of the soul that yields criticism and complaining and murmuring and grumbling and sarcasm and a general joylessness. They're mad and angry all the time. And I just want to take to such people and sometimes myself and shake them and say, hey, wake up. Sure, there's problems in the world, but Jesus Christ died and rose again. Precisely that the command, and listen, this is a command. Jesus died and rose again so that the command, rejoice always, and in everything give thanks, would not just be some high platitude, but it would be profoundly realistic. Now open your eyes. There are natural and moral beauties to praise God in this world because God has made it and He's at work in this world. Break the habit of grumbling. Get yourself hooked on praise. I promise you, it feels 10 times better and people will like you a lot more. Not only does praising the woman who fears the Lord feel good, it honors God, which is the most important of all. We shouldn't think here that in the praising the woman, we're giving to her that which belongs to God. There's a sense in which all praise, just like all boasting, should be in the Lord. But when I brag on my wife, listen, I'm bragging on the gift of God's grace in her. Because she by nature is just like everybody else. But she's my wife. God gave her to me. She's been good and faithful to me and a good mother to my son and has served the Lord's people. And I'm going to thank God for her. That's what we should do. And since the Lord has made the world and is at work in us fallen creatures, it's possible to praise Him indirectly by praising something He's made or praising something that exalts Him. And if you praise the table manners of my family, if you see my son eating at a table somewhere and say, boy, that young man's got fine table manners, then Sherry and I are going to feel honored. So God is honored through praises which come to His people for grace, which He's imparted, and which by their very nature exalt Him. So when we praise a woman who fears the Lord, we praise God. Now, a third reason that we should praise these women who fear the Lord is to strengthen their hand in the Lord. Now, think about this. When, back in my story about the dog, when the dog started to growl at my little sister, he stopped running. If my little sister had stopped and stepped toward the dog and put her arm around his neck and then went slowly on to the car, and I suppose if I called out, way to go, sis, beautiful, that's just the way to do it, I love it. What effect would that have had on my little sister? Well, maybe it would have strengthened her hand and heart to keep on going and not give up. Now, I'm not encouraging you to put your hand around the neck of a barking, growling dog. I just use it for illustration purposes. So it is with those who fear the Lord and hope in Him. There are always temptations to lure us away from the fear of God. Temptations to fear financial insecurity more than we fear the Lord. To fear rejection by our peers more than we fear God. To fear the loss of relationships more than we fear and reverence the Lord. To fear the loss of time spending good deeds more than we fear the Lord. We're tempted again and again to let go of our great God and run after some other silly pursuit. Again, we need to be encouraged in the Lord. We need to hear a saintly person say, well done. I love the way you fear the Lord. Now, listen, husbands, and children of godly mothers, a special word for you. Her children rise up and call her blessed in verse 28. Her husband also, he praises her. Children, young people, I want you to think seriously a minute. Suppose your mother was killed in a car wreck tomorrow and you had to go to your funeral on Thursday. What would you wish on Thursday you had told her today? Then I want you to tell her it's Mother's Day. Her children rise up and call her blessed. You tell her, and I promise you, you will strengthen her hand in the Lord. And what about you husbands? What would you say today on Mother's Day if you knew you were going to lose your wife in a week? What you would say is, why did I get upset at her over such stupid little things? Why did I make an issue of non-essentials? Why did I let nitpicking dry up my expressions of praise and gratitude? Just like the song, we need to live like we were dying. Death puts everything in perspective. Her husband also, and he praises her. Praise her. Praise her. Praise her while you have her. And you will strengthen her heart in God. Honor the Lord and add great joy to your own life. If you've got a woman that is the woman of Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 31, get down on your knees and thank God for that woman. She is a treasure of God's grace. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She is rare. And I'm going to tell you, my wife outside of my relationship with the Lord and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been the most priceless treasure of my life. Happy Mother's Day, honey.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.